Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to this special edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show as we go ahead and discuss about what's going on in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Round 1 review show as we go ahead and discuss what's going on in this first round. 8 games to talk about, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, let me tell you something. This is where you finally see what is going to happen. But you got to say that you had some action. You had 2 matches going into into the round of penalties, one being won in extra time. But still, though, you have to say there's a lot of action here, a lot of interesting matchups, especially a matchup that never got played, unfortunately. A matchup that never got played was, of course, the match between the San Diego Flash and, from U.S. Club Soccer, SC Corinthians USA. Unfortunately, the Corinthians on the day, and they decided not to play the game, and it's just absolutely terrible. But once again, it's just one of those things where you never expect to see these things when it comes to playing in the U.S. Open Cup teams that you thought that were ready to go, ready to get in there, ready to do some battle. And you know what? It just does not happen a couple of hours before the games are underway. And it's just really difficult to see that happen. So one match was off the books as it never, ever got issued. And then you have 7 other great games that happened. My, oh my, the action, fast and furious. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, you definitely got to say that there was some tough games back and forth, great action on the pitch, especially the one I was at the New York Red Bulls training facility as their under-23s took on the Vermont Voltage, and we'll get into that game later on. For me, obviously, when you talk about round one games, it's not that exciting for the most because they want to see when the professional sides come into play. Back in the day, when you used to have 4 rounds proper, it was always going to be MLS in round 3, the lower-level professional sides in round 2, and, of course, the amateur sides in round 1. Not so anymore, as the USL Pro League will enter with the rest of the amateurs in round 2, along with the round 1 winners that advanced. Round 3 is all NESL teams with round 2 winners, and then round 4 is all MLS with the round 3 winners. And finally, round 5 becomes the round of 16. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm telling you right now, this is a lot of interesting stuff going on here at the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, the 2014 edition. And even though this is the 101st edition of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, we're also celebrating 100 years of this tournament, 100 years of the Dewar Challenge Cup, of course, honoring the memory of Lamar Hunt, or at least honoring Lamar Hunt when he was still on this earth, talking, loving the game here in the U.S. And we're seeing this as we continue on. More people, they want to see more promotion of it, more television coverage, or at least video streaming of it. This will be the last season that the U.S. Open Cup final will be on Gold TV. And if you don't have it, go to your bars or go to your satellite companies. Whoever does have it, whoever's left has it, because I understand it's been missing for a good while. I know that I have it on my cable box, that's for sure. But still, you are seeing, my friends, great action as we discuss the Open Cup, talking about the Open Cup, loving about the Open Cup. Round one is here, and round one has already gotten underway. We're going to have on some good guests here for you guys to listen to them, how they feel about their team being in the Open Cup, what they did, how their teams did and everything. But one team that I have to say, I was hoping that they would advance into the second round because everyone has heard about Detroit City FC. Everyone's been hearing about Detroit City FC, what they do in their games in the National Premier Soccer League, what they do with their supporters. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's just been unbelievable what you've heard about them, the pictures you've seen from them on local Detroit newspapers on the internet, stories galore. I mean, this side with the rabid fan base that they have, my God, let me tell you something. It was absolutely awesome to finally see them get into their first U.S. Open Cup match. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out so well for them because they had a lead, lost the lead, went into overtime. Couple of red cards knocking each side down a man. And then all of a sudden it gets into penalties. And RWB Adria from the suburbs of Chicago, just coming in, leveling the match in second half stoppage time, going through the overtime, and then winning it on penalties. And they advanced into the next round as they'll make another visit to the state of Michigan to take on the Bucks, and we'll get more as we'll preview these round two matchups here on the 40 Seats Fire American Soccer Show. And as we keep on going here, you know, I understand that U.S. soccer is trying to make these matchups more geographical, more about staying within your own area of the United States. And yes, Red Force in Region 3 of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association had to go all the way to Colorado to take on the Rovers of the U.S. Soccer Specialty Association, I think it's called, but I know in USSSA. And Red Force heads on over to Colorado, and they beat the Rovers 2-1. On this big, big round one matchup to go in the second round. Colin Clark got the first one in the 31st minute, also got booked in the 38th minute. Red Force equalized in the second half, and then the 81st, David Olguin made it 2-1 permanently for the Red Force as they move forward, and they take a trip to Texas and head on down to Laredo. To take on the Heat and the PDL, and it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen there. It's just a lot of excitement here when you talk about these games. And how about the Ventura County Fusion in the PDL in the Western Conference? Once again, they're behind. An early goal in the fifth minute put Club Deportivo Aguiluchos. I'm probably butchering the name, and I apologize to the club there. You know, it looked like it was going to be one of those games that Ventura County could be upset at. But then here comes Kennedy Chongo, who equalized in the 53rd minute. And then Peter Gregory gets a rebound from Chongo's chance and made it 2-1 Ventura County. They're moving on to the second round as they'll face the Sacramento Republic of the USL Pro League, and that should be interesting. PSA Elite, LA Misioneros. It happened in extra time. Nothing in regulation. Going into extra time, it was Javier Castro who made it 1-0 in the 92nd minute. Jose Preciado of PSA Elite in the 112th minute, second half of extra time. And then a red card to LA Misioneros. And then all of a sudden, it's penalty round time. And PSA Elite somehow finds a way to stay up, stay alive, and they move on into the next round as they'll be hosting, they'll be on the road in California to take on the San Diego Flash. Now, everyone knows about the Flash. Everyone knows that they are a former club that used to be in the old A-League. And for some reason, they just disappeared, obviously, but then they came back, and that's under the tutelage of Warren Barton. Of course, you know Warren Barton on Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, CONCACAF, UEFA Champions League coverage, as well as FA Cup coverage for Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports 2. So it should be interesting to see what that side's going to do in the second round. And they advanced on a forfeit by SC Corinthians USA. It must have been really difficult because I bet he wanted to see his fans, his supporters, to go out there and to actually do a job and to find a way to prove that the San Diego Flash are going to make a big run. They still can if they win their second round game. It should be interesting to see what's going to happen there. And as we keep on going here, how about overtime, as we talked about it, between the Greater Portland Phoenix, GPS Portland Phoenix, hosting Lehigh Valley United Sonic. Both sides get a player booked, but it becomes just within the final minute or around the final 5 minutes of extra time. Shastri Spencer made it 1-0 for Lehigh Valley. And that would be the end of that. Of course, the New York Red Bulls under 23 side through the NPSL gets ahead of the Vermont Voltage with 2 goals in the first half. Vermont pulled one back in the middle of the second, but it was too little too late anyway. The New York Red Bulls do advance with their under 23 side, as they move forward into the next round with a road trip to Pittsburgh. So a lot of good stuff here going on, a lot of good action here, a lot of good things are happening as the clubs that have advanced into the next round of Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. As they move forward into the next round, getting some information here, just want to make sure. Pardon me, I just sneezed there, didn't want you to hear that. But, you know, just to talk to you guys, it's just going to be very exciting to talk about what's happening here in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And as we move on, talking about it, discussing it, let's go ahead and get forward here. I have some pretty good guests for you tonight. As we get ready to discuss what happened in round one of Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And let's get to it right away. My first guest tonight is the head coach of the Western Mass Pioneers, who took a bit of a interesting game here as they took on Mass Premier Soccer of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association. This is head coach Federico Molinari as he discusses what his club did to get into the second round of Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Did not able to come with me live tonight, so we recorded the interview. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Federico Molinari.
And this is the special U.S. Open Cup Round 1 review show as we talk about everything that happened in the U.S. Open Cup this past Wednesday. Joining me right now, the head coach of the Western Mass Pioneers is Federico Molinari. Coach Molinari, thank you for the time and welcome to the show.
Thank you for calling me.
No problem at all. Coach, it must be something special when you get involved in these Coppa Italia matches, Open Cup matches here in the U.S., and it must have been a very difficult game for you when you took on the Mass Premier Club of the level lower than PDL.
Well, yeah, of course. Always is nice to play in the Open Cup over here because you know that every single team and every single pro team play. And yes, play a team that's playing another league put pressure on us. But I think we did okay for be the first time that we played together because we didn't practice with the whole roster. So we just get together and we play, and I think we got the result. We didn't play well the first half, but we got the result that we won.
Were you a little nervous? I know it was an early goal in the first half from Mass Premier by Santiago Bedoya in the 11th minute. But were you a little worried about your side, you know, not answering for an equalizer as late as it did come in the 71st by William Daniels?
Yes, I was nervous. I did not lie to you. I was nervous because we have a change, we have a PK, we have a penalty that we miss, and right away the other team scores. So you pass from winning 1-0 to lose 1-0 in 10 seconds. So that was hard for the team too. But I was nervous because I was seeing that the team didn't respond in the field. No, they didn't. We couldn't possess the ball in the first half, and that was made me nervous. So, but in the second half, I think we changed the attitude. We changed a couple things. We played different system in the second half, and I think it works.
That's fantastic. And of course, you have two men that converted for you twice, William Daniels. In the 71st and 86th, and Alan Carr Jr. in the 75th and 77th. I mean, goals that went so fast, and I bet everyone was happy to see Western Mass get the victory at 4-1.
Well, the plan was from the beginning was to possess the ball, to move the ball side to side. That's why I was playing with a three center midfielder, kind of like a two wide midfielder, it could be a 4-3-3 or 4-5-1, depends. And the idea was to possess the ball, to keep the ball moving, because I told them the team Mass Premier played last Sunday, and they played 120 minutes. They went to the PK because they were playing the qualification for the 2015 Open Cup. And that was in New York. So I told them we need to possess the ball, we need to move the ball, we need to make them tired. And in the second half, you're gonna have a lot of opportunity in the last 30 minutes because it's gonna be hard for them to maintain the rhythm of the game, being playing 2 days before 120 minutes. And you can see the goal were in the last 20 minutes we scored 4 goals and we have more opportunity than we missed.
Talk about your two players that converted for you twice. First, William Daniels. How long has he been with the club, and what great things have you expected from him so far?
Well, William, he came last year. He played the last 4 or 5 games last year. He was on board with the club. And this year he came back again, and I think he's a fantastic forward. I really like him because he's a player that never give up. He's always working for the team. I put it in the right side in the beginning because I don't want to put him on the bench, so I give him maybe a job that he's not used to. And in the second half, we put it in his right position that was forward. And I think that he worked together with Junior very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Alan Carr Jr., another one who converted twice in the match. It sounds like these are your two guys that are you're very comfortable with and you want to have out there when you make this big Open Cup run for next week's match in round two.
Yeah, that's the idea, to have these two guys together again. Junior is a great player, too. He has more experience than Williams. He's older than Williams, and he's a great finishing. He can, and 1-1 is good. 1-1 with the goalkeeper, you know it's a goal. So I hope I can have both of them for next match against Rochester.
What made you go over to Ludlow, Massachusetts in Western Mass? What made you want to be over there? Is it the area? Is it because you see great talent with American players, the youth players? What was it about Ludlow that made you want to be the head coach of the Pioneers?
Well, I played here in 2003 when this club was pro. This club was pro in 2009, I think. And I played here in 2003, and after I come back to my country, I'm from Argentina, and I went to play in another country in Italy, and I come back again into the United States in 2005, and I stay here and I play here in Pioneer for the last 5-6 years, and after that the president offered me to be the head coach, and I accept because I really like the club. Over here we are a PDL team, but if you check in each PDL sheet on game sheet, you can see that we are third, fourth, or fifth in the country with attendance. So I still think this team is like a pro, you know, because a lot of people come to the field. We always play with 1,500, 2,000 people around, which when we're going to play PDL away, you only play against 500 people, so the most. So I like him. I like him over here. I like the town. I have my family over here, so I'm happy here.
And let's get ready and let's get down to business here. Round two matchup. It's a trip to Western New York. You're going to face the Rochester Rhinos of the USL Pro League. Obviously, you've probably seen a lot of their matches through the YouTube. What is it about Rochester that either scares you or you think that you have a great opportunity for an upset?
Well, we have to be realistic. They start practicing in March. I start practicing in May. They start playing in April. I just play one game. So we are not at the same level than them, but we believe that we can do it. We believe that we can go there and play. We're gonna do our best to try to win. What scares me of them is that they are practicing and they are together for more time than we are. And they know each other more than we know each other. And after we have a couple players that I know, they are very good. The forward, the number 10, I was watching the game, is very good. It's the Banks, the player who scored a lot of goals. I think he has 5 or 6 goals already. It's a team that, Rochester is a team that I think with less goals against, which that means that they are very good defensively. As a team defensively, I don't want to say just the defender, as a team, the defender, the midfielder, everybody work together to defend. And I was watching yesterday the game that they play against Charleston, and the way that they pressure, and they pressure really good. But we have our thing too, you know. We have our thing to go there and play and try to win the game, you know. And the field is 11-11, you know. And the cup, I always say to the player, the cup is one game. So they can be the best team in the world, but if it's that day, they don't wake up with the same skill, or they are not their day. It's not their day. They maybe can lose. You know, it's one game. You win and you go, and you lose and you out. You know, so I think of course they have more chance. Yes, but we're gonna have the opportunity too. So.
Coach Molinari, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Good luck next week at Rochester, and hope to see if Western Mass can start a cup dream.
All right. Yeah. This is what we want. So thank you.
And that is the head coach of the Western Mass Pioneers, and Federico Molinari, as they were down 1-0 throughout the rest of the game. It was a huge win. All of a sudden, around 15 minutes worth of goals out of the blue, from the 71st minute all the way to the 86th. William Daniels with a brace in the 71st and 86th minute. He sandwiched Alan Carr Jr. in the 75th and the 77th minutes with his brace, after Santiago Bedoya took a 1-0 lead in the 11th minute, and those two guys sends Western Mass into the second round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Once again, just some exciting stuff, some tight games. I understand it's round one. I understand where everyone's talking about. It's only round one. When do the big boys come in? Well, the big boys will come in later, obviously. But the truth of the matter is this, is that for these guys playing in the U.S. Open Cup, this is their moment. And you have to give those guys their moment, because this is what it's all about. When was the last time you saw an amateur side, when you have professional teams playing, that went all the way to the final? They went all the way and won this tournament. Very rarely these days, because back in the old days, those small leagues were considered professional, or at least of amateur status back in the day. But you know what? When you talk about those types of players, especially Bethlehem Steel teams working in the steel mills of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, it just goes to show you what you can do if you can get there, if you can get to that particular way. And it's just absolutely fabulous, because this is what you strive for as a professional or an amateur athlete when you are playing professional or amateur soccer in the United States. And then, of course, the stories you talk about, stories that you discuss with these people. It's just an absolute brilliant thing. It's just an absolute brilliant thing to talk about, to discuss. You love it. And you just sit there and just enjoy these stories about what they did in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And it's absolutely wonderful. And I enjoyed listening to these types of stories. My next guest appearing here on the special Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Round 1 show will be the general manager of R.W.B. Audria, based out of Chicago, Illinois. The general manager of the club coming on, Mr. Ante Lokar, as he traveled with the club to Detroit City FC's home field. And boy, oh boy, what an exciting game this was. And what an exciting tie. It was unbelievable what was going on there. Because, boy, oh boy, that was something special. That was something special, and it was just fantastic to see a game like that. And joining me right now, is the general manager of RWB Audria, Mr. Ante Lokar. Thank you so much, sir, and good evening.
Hello. Yep.
Yes, can you hear me, sir?
I hear you.
That must have been one hell of a tie against Detroit City FC. You were telling me about when you got there, how surprised you were to see a giant amount of people, to see your opponent's support.
It was a very big surprise. The La Rouge and National Guard, the names they go by, are probably the best supporters I have seen in my 25 years in the amateur soccer game. They're almost on level with MLS supporters. Big props to them. Incredible bunch of fans. And I wish they would actually beat us, because they probably would have had a real nice party in Detroit that night.
And, of course, you probably would say, you guys wouldn't mind if I crashed the party, huh?
No, we would have been right with them, because they really made a nice atmosphere. They're really incredible fans.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was at the Red Bulls under-23 Open Cup match against Vermont, and I was following on Twitter about what was going on with Detroit City and RWB Audria. And, you know, wow, a lot of excitement, plenty of fireworks, great atmosphere, and a great match. Your player, Vlad Bacu, I probably butchered it. Yep,
Bacu. The Romanian Hulk.
Gets the first goal of the match in the 20th minute, then a couple of bookings here and there. Mesanovic, Taylor Bond, Sven Arapovich, and then all of a sudden all hell broke loose. Detroit puts two past you.
Yeah, they caught us in the 71st minute. They tied it up. They took the lead in the 77th minute. But we're a team. We're a little older team. Our whole midfield is in the 30s. And we know the game is played 90 minutes. And until that ref blows that whistle, you're always in the game. And I think our experience actually helped us out on this game. You know, you're in 94th minute, you know, mental lapse. The guy could have cleared the ball. He didn't. Vlad was there. He pounced on it, and boom, you're in overtime. Another 2x15. Both teams really didn't have a good preseason. You know, we're both from the Midwest. It's cold. It was actually a cold night there. It was raining. You know, you really don't have too much time to prepare.
Yeah,
so that
absolutely.
Was a big, you know, big, you know, it kills both, you know, condition, stamina. They were cramping up. You know, they really ran a lot. So, you know, of course you're going to cramp up.
Oh, absolutely. But I got to say, you know, you're right. You play till you hear the final whistle blowing, and your man who scored that first goal in the 20th minute makes it big in second half stoppage time. And into extra time you went. A couple of red cards flying by here and there, but definitely, for sure, your advantage when it came to the round of penalties, because it looks like while they did have a miss and your keeper made a save on one of the three missed
two.
Penalties.
Two saves
yeah. On Detroit City's penalties of the three they missed. Your side came up big. Mesanovic made it. Morris converted. McKinney got the winner.
Yep.
And I got to say, that's a big win for Audria moving on to the second round there.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. And, again, we have another chance to do an upset. I mean, all respect to the Michigan Bucks. They are the premier PDL team of the country. But, again, not in the full swing of the season yet. I think their home opener is on the 19th of May. You know, so this is a good game for them to get ready for their season. And, again, you know, we're going to have the same tactic. We're not going to push all 11 guys, but we are going to try to attack and, you know, score goals. And the ball is round. That's why the games are played. And that's why the U.S. Open Cup is so fascinating, because of these amateur teams a lot of people probably never heard of. When they do win a game, you know, it's instant press for them.
Now, how long has RWB Audra been involved with the game in the United States, especially in the Chicago area? Because obviously
we've been around since 1959. We were two-time semifinals in the U.S. Open Cup. 1978, we lost to eventual champion Maccabi from L.A., 1-0. I happened to be at the game as an 8-year-old, and I remember seeing there was about 3,000 fans, everybody's sad face, you know, because everybody would love to win the U.S. Open Cup. And then we lost in 91 to the Brooklyn Italians, who happened to go the next week to Texas and beat somebody 4-0. And, you know, it's heartbreaking that you made it there twice, and now, you know, with the structure it is with MLS and USL Pro, it's very hard for the little teams to ever win, you know, the Lamar Hunt. But it's nice to get to play one game.
Absolutely. It's really nice. But, you know, probably back in the day when we're talking about even before Audra was born, like Bethlehem Steel, I mean, those teams were probably the giants of American soccer, especially in the national tournament, which is now the U.S. Open Cup, they would normally get in there.
Yes, I have a friend that won the U.S. Open Cup in 1953.
Really?
And Joe Zizda, the Falcons from Chicago, they beat Pittsburgh. He was in the military. He got a leave so he can play for a championship game. And they won. I forgot the score. But every time we talk about soccer, he brings it up. I won the U.S. Open Cup. And he's going to go to his grave smiling, knowing that he actually won the Premier Cup of America. You know, this is our version of that FA Cup.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's fantastic to hear. I would love to have him on the show.
I will arrange that for you. And he's 85 years old, and he remembers that game like it was yesterday. He was a center forward, the typical number nine Polish young Polish stallion. You'd love to talk to him, actually. I'll hook it up for you, Daniel.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. This would be really, really fantastic. Oh, my
goodness. And I forgot to mention to you, we had one of the world's greatest soccer players playing on our team that just happened to pass away.
Oh, who was that?
Who just happened to pass away, one of the greatest soccer players of all time.
No, I didn't hear the news. Seriously, who was it?
He passed away in January.
Right. No, I don't. Oh.
Portuguese.
Eusebio. No, I mean, that's right, Eusebio. I'm sorry. Boom. I thought it was an American, a great American back in the day. Eusebio,
no,
yes,
I'm
exactly.
Talking about, you know, he played for our club for 2 years.
Eusebio actually played for Audra for 2 years?
Yeah.
I never knew that. No, I'm not kidding. I never knew that. Wow.
Yes, a lot of people didn't know because he was already retired. 80 and 81. He lived in Boston, and we used to fly him in every other week to play with us.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you do a Google with our team name and his name, some stories will pop up.
Wow.
I'll scan and email you some pictures. They're very nice. I was 10 years old when he played, and unfortunately, until now, I never realized what an honor it was for this guy to play until he passed away.
Oh,
you know,
he
was one of the guys, you know, playing on the team that I'm with. And then when he passed away, so that was a little interesting fact that a lot of people, the regular American people, don't know from. Not that are in Chicago, you know.
oh my goodness. I mean, this is something I never knew about. I've never heard before, and I mean, I'm so grateful and thankful that you were able to come on the show to discuss not only a gentleman that you know that won the Open Cup back in 1953, but to talk about the great Eusebio, that many know him for playing for Portugal and for Benfica, and he actually played a couple of matches for RWB Adria, which is just absolutely
yes. And the reason
here,
Eusebio has a very soft spot for Croatian people because he won the North American Soccer with Toronto Metros Croatia.
Oh, okay.
And that's how his connection with the Croatian people became, because that team was that team was like the level of us. And then when Toronto Metros was folding the North American Soccer League, some guys like, hey, your community has money. You guys got a good team. Why don't you guys take over Metros? And their demand was, we will take the team over, but it has to be called Metros Croatia. And
right.
Back then in 1970s, nobody knew about Croatian people because we were under Yugoslavia. And they actually went on to win the North American Soccer League, which is they actually scored a goal in the game.
Wow.
They beat the Minnesota Kicks in Seattle in the Old Kingdom.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
goodness. I'm full of facts.
Yes, you are. More than I bargained for, but you know what? I don't care. That's absolutely wonderful to listen to. This is fantastic news to hear and these great stories. But just to get back to some business now, like you said before, your next round match is going to be against the Michigan Bucks. You're going to head back into the state of Michigan to play against the Bucks. And even though this will be their first game of their season, I think you know very well that they're going to be a very tough customer to deal with. And what do you think Adria is going to have to do to make another upset and to move into the next round?
Well, we know that it's going to be a tough game because they are one of the little teams that have knocked out the big boys. I know they beat the Chicago Fire 2 years ago. And if it's possible for them to beat the Fire, it's possible for us to beat them. And the way we look at it, we have nothing to lose because they expect the little guy to lose. So we're going to go up there with the same attitude we had against Detroit City, have fun, and play the game for 90 minutes, give our all, and what happens, happens. The bottom line is the ball is round for everybody. Yeah, they're a little organized league, PDL, but our guys have played higher levels too. And, you know, we're going to go. You know, we're not going to lay back. You know, and hopefully we get a couple lucky bounces our way.
Absolutely. Ante Lokar, thank you so much for this wonderful news. Thank you very much for being on the show, and I hope to have you back again to talk some more stuff about whatever it is you got, I'm willing to bring in.
It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm looking forward to doing it again, and we will definitely keep in touch.
Definitely. Thank you, and have a good night, sir.
You too. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. And that's Ante Lokar, general manager of RWB Adria, with some shocking news, knowing an Open Cup winner from 1953 and a lot of other great things happening in this U.S. Open Cup. And this is what happens when you talk the world game, soccer, football, and you find out about these wonderful things that you never knew about. And here they are. Right here on the 40 Scenes Fire American Soccer Show special U.S. Open Cup Round 1 review show. And joining me right now, a gentleman that got a Round 1 victory as well in the Open Cup, is the head coach of the Lehigh Valley United Sonic, Mr. David Wietzman. David, thank you for the time and welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. Much appreciated, and glad to join you guys tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, before I ask you some serious questions, because I need to know this, was your club originally owned by a Sonic restaurant?
No, we had a partnership and sponsorship through one of the a few of the franchises here in the Lehigh Valley, which consumes the Allentown, Bethlehem, eastern areas of eastern Pennsylvania. So we had a nice 3-year partnership with the Sonic Drive-In. And then after that deal was over, after 3 years, we were more aligned with our youth club, and we wanted to keep the Sonic name because we wound up being nationally recognized and coming off the national championship in the MPSL. We just really wanted to keep the Sonic logo going. So it's been great, and we were really fortunate at that time to have the Sonic Drive and local franchises backing us.
That's wonderful to hear. So when you did win the NPSL championship, free slushies for everyone?
No, not exactly. We try to make sure that the guys don't put that kind of stuff in their system. But, yeah, it was nice to have them support us. And I don't think we would have gotten as far as we would have without their support.
Now, obviously, you're taking on one of the PDL sides in the Eastern Conference in GPS Portland Phoenix. How tough were Portland Phoenix, and what did you see that you knew that if this match was going to go into extra time?
Well, you know what, that team was very good. You could tell that, you know, they've been one of the better teams in the Northeast region of the PDL for the last 4 years or so. I thought they were very similar to a Carolina Dynamo team that we played last year and also the Reading United team out of the PDL. So they played very similar. I thought they had a lot of quality players, especially the center back, Cameron Almsbury, was very, very good that night against us. So, you know, I think that they were missing some of their players. You know, a lot of their team is comprised of some college players that had to take care of their academic responsibilities and couldn't get into the match. They couldn't get home soon enough, or they had some obligations that only allowed them to practice one or two times if they were on that roster for Portland. So I think they were in a position where they were missing some players, but I see them being one of the probably the top four teams out of the Northeast region out of in the PDL this year.
Now, obviously, it felt like, you know, if there wasn't going to be a goal coming in extra time, were you confident that your guys can put the game away in the penalty round?
You know what? To be honest with you, you know, they looked like they had a real tall, lanky keeper, and I really didn't want to get into a PK situation with them. You know, they had a lot of experienced players. So we wanted to try to win in regulation or in the overtime periods, and quite frankly, we thought that we had the game won a couple times during the regulation time. We missed a couple really good chances. We missed a sitter as well in the first overtime. So you know, it was just one of those things that we got into late part of the game. I think they started to get a little bit tired. I think their fitness was a bit of an issue, and I think our guys were maybe a little bit more fit. So we got into that 115th minute. George Sirikas, who plays for us and plays at the University of Michigan, made a great play at midfield, dribbled about 25 yards, and found Shastri Spencer, who's been a former pro player and such, and Shastri did a great job with the ball at his feet, taking on a defender and then pulling the goalkeeper out and chipping him to the far post to win the game for us. But, you know, that's the way it happens sometimes. You know, and I give a lot of credit to that Portland team. They're going to be quality.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, Spencer makes it the only goal of the match in the 115th minute with 5 minutes plus whatever was left in second half stoppage time. How nerve-wracking was it after Shastri put that big goal away? Because obviously you knew, even though the fitness was an issue for Portland, you had to be worried that you might be going to penalties if they equalized late.
Yeah, you know, especially when you're early in the season, you know, you don't go a chance as a coach, you don't get a chance to go over all the game situations that you want to. So, you know, although we went up a goal, I was very worried that, you know, we would take the next 5 minutes off or so, you know, towards the final stands of the match. I was just really worried that our mindset was going to be to just kind of fit in and not continue to press and play like we were used to. And, you know, quite honestly, like, they hit the post in the final couple minutes of that second overtime period, and we were very lucky to escape with that 1-0 victory. But, you know, the guys persevered. They really, since the time that we left the Lehigh Valley to take the bus up to Portland, Maine, I think our boys handled themselves, were very mature about it. They really wanted to accept the challenge of traveling 7 hours on a bus, getting out and playing the match and seeing what they could do. And I thought our boys handled the situations really well.
Absolutely. Talk about your club for a moment, please. How solid is the talent in northeastern Pennsylvania? I know you're not far away from Bethlehem. How strong is the talent in northeastern Pennsylvania right now?
It's really off the charts. I mean, soccer's always been an integral part of the communities here in the eastern part of PA. I mean, you go back to the old Bethlehem Steel days in the 1920s and 30s, where they rattled off consecutive Open Cup championships, to the late 70s and early 80s when it was the Pennsylvania Stoners winning championships in the ASL. So there's always been a tradition here in Lehigh Valley for good soccer, and we're close enough to, you know, New Jersey and Philadelphia and even New York to get players, good quality players that want to come in and play for us. So we have players coming in from Penn State, you know, where their hometown is like the Westchester, Philadelphia area, and they come and they seek us out. And we're very fortunate to have a lot of universities close by, like Lafayette, Lehigh. You know, we have the Villanovas, you know, down the Philly area type, Temple. So we get a good group of college-level Division I players coming in. Also, we're affiliated with our youth club, Lehigh Valley United, and our U19s last summer won the U19 National Championship. So we have a good feeder program. We have good young soccer players coming up through our system, and then we still get the opportunity to attract some really good players, Division I players. And, you know, even so, we, you know, after guys are done playing professionally, or if they're getting released by some USL or NASL teams, you know, they're looking to come back and play for us here so they get back up to the top again. So we're in a very unique and special situation, and it's been like this since we started back in 2008 in the MPSL as the Pennsylvania Stoners, then changing our name to the Sonic in 2010.
Now, I want to throw this question at you because obviously you probably saw the MLS Insider show last year when they took a trip to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and basically highlighted the Bethlehem Steel. If for some reason Bethlehem Steel does come back as a professional club or an amateur club, and if, let's just say, they would ask Lehigh Valley United to be a feeder club for them, would it be hands down accepted?
I think we would definitely look at those opportunities. I mean, it's definitely our goal as the Sonic organization and also the youth club to continue to grow the game in Lehigh Valley. We would love to have a professional side, whether it was in the NASL or the USL Pro here in Lehigh Valley. I mean, some of your listeners would be interested in knowing that the Lehigh Valley area has been a real hotbed for minor league sports. We have the AAA Iron Pigs, which is the AAA affiliate with the Philadelphia Phillies in baseball, and then we also have the Phantoms that will be starting this coming fall and winter that are AAA feeder program for the Philadelphia Flyers. So we really believe that with our strong soccer community here that we can also field and have support from a lot of folks for a minor league soccer team, a pro team. So we really continue to grow the game. We want to have those opportunities, and I think we can support that.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like you really can. Would the ownership groups, if they felt like it, if they would make a bold move into NASL or USL Pro to maybe raise the level, as like you said before, would that be in the cards in the future?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think this coming Wednesday when we take on the Harrisburg City Islanders would be a good test for us and a good sign to see what kind of backing we would get from the hometown and the soccer community. So this is kind of, you know, although it's a great opportunity for us to go ahead and play on the pitch and see what happens against the City Islanders in the second round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, it's also a good barometer check for us to see if we can really go ahead and move forward with our goal of having a pro team here in the Lehigh Valley.
Well, let me go ahead and talk about that Harrisburg City Islander team, led by Bill Boettcher, who is the head coach of the City Islanders. How well do you know him, and how difficult are you going to be in for a big fight against one of the top sides in the state of Pennsylvania on the professional side, as well as just, you know, he's been known to make these big runs in the Open Cup before he falls short in the knockout sections?
Yeah, I've known Bill for a number of years. I've coached against him at the youth level and such, and he's a terrific guy, really knows his stuff, and he's always put together good teams down in Harrisburg. You know, you look back on his teams back when they were in the USL second division winning championships and, you know, going on long runs in the U.S. Open Cup, taking on D.C. United a few years back. So I know that his side's good. I know they're struggling a little bit right now in their league. I know they're sitting second from the bottom on the table, but, you know, I expect them to come out with a real professional side against us on Wednesday. You know, they're also a direct affiliate with the Philadelphia Union, so I know they have some players on loan from the Union. And we have a tough task ahead of us, you know, playing against a team like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about guys, you know, stepping up and being challenged in these situations. And I think we'll give them a run for the money. You know, at the end of the day, the guys, it's about playing on the field and trying to win those small group battles, whether it's 1v1, 2v1, 1v2. And I think if we could come out winning the majority of those battles, I think we'll have some success. And you know what? Even if we don't get the result that we're looking for, I mean, the success on the pitch for us could also be looked at as, you know, can we get a good crowd out there at the stadium on Wednesday night? Can we have good support from them? And then also, can we at least play good soccer on that night and give Harrisburg a run for the money?
How far is Harrisburg from the Lehigh Valley area?
Yeah, Harrisburg's about an hour and 15 minutes away. You know, it's mm-hmm. our state capital is in Harrisburg. And so, mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of our youth teams play against the Harrisburg team, so there's a nice little rivalry between the Lehigh Valley and Harrisburg in terms of youth soccer. And this is a great opportunity for the Sonic organization to play against the City Islanders and take it that one step further. You know, we've been in the U.S. Open Cup for the last couple of years, losing last year to Reading United from the PDL 2-0 and then losing to the Long Island Rough Riders the year before that. So we've been really wanting to have some success in this competition, and this year so far, you know, things were off to a good start. So we're looking for good things to come. The guys on the, you know, we're training right now, actually, we're just finishing up. And the guys are buzzing now, and they're looking forward to this opportunity to play against, you know, the City Islanders. You know, some of our guys have tried out for the City Islanders in the past. Some of our guys have played for them in the past. So there's a lot going. There's a lot at stake in this game as well.
Coach Wietzman, thank you very much for the time. I really do appreciate it. Good luck against Harrisburg in round two. And I've been to Harrisburg twice, seeing the Red Bulls playing on the road at City Island Skyline Sports Complex. Great time, great town, second home, actually third home for me. Orlando's my second home, but that's for something else. But no, I love Harrisburg. It's a great town. Good luck to you in the second round, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I hope to talk to you maybe next week sometime around this time. And if you ever find yourself in the Lehigh Valley, look us up, okay?
I definitely will. Have a good night, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
No problem at all. It's head coach Dave Wietzman from the Lehigh Valley United Sonic side. No slushies for anyone anymore, unfortunately. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, just great stuff when you hear all these great things going on here. If you didn't expect to hear all these things on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Round 1 Review Show, as well as the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show, boy, oh boy, let me tell you, you're missing out a lot. You got to go out there and get – got to go out there and you got to go listen to the show, and you got to just come on over and take a listen. Got to just come on over and listen and just – take an opportunity to hear what's going on. Boy, oh boy, I have to tell you, this is an absolute great night here. A lot of new things that I've learned, a lot of great things that you've learned. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Let's go now as we review the New York Red Bulls match. And once again, I was at the under-23s home game against the Vermont Voltage. Originally, the goal was scored or credited to Dan Bedoya, but apparently he assisted on the goal, so it was given to Scott Thompson. It was 1-0 Red Bulls under-23s in the 18th minute, and then Kendon Anderson in the 35th, sliding defender, trying to stop his shot. It popped up in the air high. The keeper was well off his line, and the ball was able to bounce into the back of the net into an open goal, and it was 2-0 for the under-23s of the New York Red Bulls. But then an opportunity for Adrian Saldana in the 69th minute for Vermont. They changed up some tactics here and there, and you know what? It's just one of those things where it did not cost them the match. And at the end of 90 minutes, there was a booking on a Vermont player in the 90th minute around second-half stoppage time. But once the card was issued, the whistle blew right away. Match over, 2-1 for the under-23s of the New York Red Bulls as they'll move on into the second round and face the Pittsburgh Riverhounds down in Pittsburgh at Highmark Stadium. Now, got to say right here is that Simon Nee, who is the head coach of the under-23 squad, his side looked pretty strong. He looked pretty good and very solid. I got to say that so far, a little fatigued around the second half because obviously they're just getting underway because not everyone was out at school or at their universities and were not able to get back in time to get any preseason stuff going. But still, though, they looked very organized. They looked solid. And if some of you are wondering about the facility, fantastic facility in Whippany, New Jersey, a couple of buildings, one for the media, one that does house the players and the weight training and everything. And just got to say, and it's just a fantastic little area. And also, you have to say that for that facility, they have two natural grass fields. They have one turf field, and it's not like how it is like in Seattle or in Vancouver. It's kind of like a hybrid of what Portland uses, but it's got a little more thickness to it, you might say. It's not that high. It's trimmed very, very, very small, very short, but still, though, great area. That's where the lights were on over there. And you just have to say that it was a wonderful match played by the under-23s of the New York Red Bulls as they move forward into the second round. And I did have an opportunity to talk to the head coach of the under-23 side, Mr. Simon Nee, and here are his thoughts after the match. Congratulations on your round one match against Vermont.
Thank you.
What was about Vermont that gave you maybe a little bit of fits in the second half before you were able to go up 2-0 in the first?
Well, in the first half, they dropped off a lot, which allowed us time and space to play. And then second half, obviously, we're looking to try and get back into the game, so they started to press us a little bit higher. I didn't think that we dealt with that particularly well. We started to play a little bit too direct at times, and that's not really our game. So made a tactical change towards the end just to put another player in the middle, just to give us more options to play through, and it allowed us to possess the ball a little bit better. But there were still times where it was perhaps just a little bit too sloppy. So
talk about that first goal with Dan Bedoya, a very well-placed shot.
Yeah, you know, Dan's got that ability. You know, he's a player that is always looking to come inside and take those type of opportunities. So it was a good finish.
And that second goal, a little bit of luck, of course, on a pop-up that bounced into the net, but you'll take those.
This Scotty Thompson's goal? Yeah, I thought the combination on the edge of the box with Sami Ajayi was very well done. I mean, you know, when teams pack in like that, it's very limited space, so you have to be precise in your build-up play. So, you know, although the finish was, you know, a little fortunate, the play to get in to the box to create the opportunity, I thought was very good.
Don't know if you've seen any of Pittsburgh Riverhounds matches through the YouTube or through streaming, but what will be a challenge when you're going to face them next week in Pittsburgh?
This group's only just come back together this week, so you know we have a lot of work to do, you know, to get back playing as a group first and foremost. And we obviously have work to do on a fitness standpoint. A few of the boys were feeling it there towards the end, so you know we have to focus on making progress on some of the things that we've seen tonight, on our fitness levels, on our, you know, on our ability to play with one another. So, you know, that will be our sort of objective over these next few days. We've got a couple of friendly games, really, to just get back up to speed. And if we play well, we know that we're a tough opponent for anyone. But I think that we need to get back to our best before we start to really worry about the opponents. There's a lot of things that we could have done better tonight.
Before the match, obviously, you've probably seen a lot of FA Cups in your time, and what did you tell the boys about being in this type of tournament, seizing the opportunity to possibly not so much play well against Vermont, but when the next rounds do come, maybe be an upset special?
I think we can only really focus on one game at a time. We knew this would be tough because we literally had one training session before this. It was an objective to get through the first round. Last year we went down and we played at the Nor'easters. It was a tough environment to go down there and try and get through. We're fortunate enough to be at home this time, so it was a great opportunity for us. But in cup games, I said at half time, 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline, and we didn't really go out with enough purpose to try and make that third goal. And I think when you do that and you don't have that killer instinct, you invite teams in and we let them back in the tie. So that'll be a concern for us. That's something that we need to be a little bit more mindful of in the future. Not being as sloppy as we were in turning the ball over. So we'll go back to basics a little bit in practice this week to make sure that we possess the ball a bit better than we did tonight. And as I said, we've got games this weekend, and we'll just keep looking to make.
Simon Nee, N-E-E, no K in front, head coach of the under-23s of the New York Red Bulls, as they win their first round matchup against the Vermont Voltage 2-1. Just to let everyone know, that was the first time that the Vermont Voltage ever played in the U.S. Open Cup. So they are a first time entrant, and they unfortunately went down with a loss, 2-1 New York Red Bulls under 23s. And now it's time to discuss what's going to happen. We're going to preview the second round matchups. We go from 8 into 24. The USL Pro League's sides, the PDL entrants, NPSL entrants, US ASA entrants, as we get set here for the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup second round. And here we go, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to discuss these next matches in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup second round schedule is already up and ready to go, of course. And here we go. First match of the second round will be on Tuesday, May 13th, as the Portland Timbers under-23 side will take on the Arizona United of the USL Pro League. So, when Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show ends at 10 o'clock, go ahead and listen and watch the stream probably from the Portland Timbers website, as that match will be played at Providence Park in Portland, Oregon. And then some afternoon action. Doubleheader at the Seminole Soccer Complex in Sanford, Florida, as the Orlando City under-23 side will be hosting the Jacksonville United Club at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And then later on, the big boys are going to be hosting the Ocala Stampede, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So get ready for that doubleheader if you are near Orlando or around the Sanford, Florida area. Head over to the Seminole Soccer Complex for a great U.S. Open Cup doubleheader involving both Orlando City senior side and the under-23 side. Moving on down as we get ready here for the U.S. Open Cup. Dayton Dutch Lions will be on the road against Schwaben AC of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association at the Schwaben Athletic Club in Buffalo Grove, Illinois. That's a 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern start time. At 5:30 p.m. Eastern, Icon FC will be making a trip down to Baltimore to take on the Bohemians at the Calvert Hall College High School in Townsend, Maryland. The New York Red Bulls under 23 sides, once again, they'll be going over to Western Pennsylvania to take on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds at Highmark Stadium in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 7 o'clock Eastern start time. The New York Greek American Atlas of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association, they'll be taking on the Ocean City Nor'easters of the PDL over at Carey Stadium in Ocean City, New Jersey. Greater Binghamton FC Thunder, based out of Binghamton, New York, they will be on the road taking on the Reading United at Gursky Stadium in Reading, Pennsylvania, 7 o'clock Eastern. Richmond Kickers at the Richmond, Virginia FC over at Sports Backers Stadium, Richmond, Virginia, 7 p.m. Eastern. And that game, ladies and gentlemen, is the stream of the round hosted by U.S. Soccer. You go to ussoccer.com and then you click on the play button over at ussoccer.com to watch the match of the round streamed for free and live by U.S. Soccer. And once again, as you've already heard, Harrisburg City Islanders of the USL Pro League are on the road taking on Lehigh Valley United Sonic at the Whitehall High School Soccer Stadium in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, 7:05 start time. Carolina Dynamo will be heading over to Charlotte to take on the Eagles at the Queens University Sports Complex in Charlotte, North Carolina, 7 p.m. Eastern start time. RWB Odger heading back into Michigan. They're going to the Ultimate Soccer Arenas in Pontiac, Michigan to take on the Michigan Bucks at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Panama City Beach Pirates of the PDL will be heading over to South Carolina to take on the Charleston Battery over at Blackbaud Stadium, 7:30 p.m. Eastern start time. The Wilmington Hammerheads of the USL Pro League will be traveling to face Chattanooga FC over at Finley Stadium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 7:30 p.m. Western Mass Pioneers are heading to Western New York to take on the Rochester Rhinos, Salem Stadium at 7:35 p.m. Eastern. Brooklyn Italians of the NPSL are heading to Newark, New Jersey to take on the Jersey Express at the NJIT Soccer Stadium. Now, this is for those of you that do want to head over to Newark if you guys want to watch this game. Very simple, not difficult at all. Here's what you do. If you take New Jersey Transit train to Newark Penn Station, or if you're going to take the train that stops at Broad Street in Newark at that station, here's what you're going to do. If you are going to Newark Penn Station, all you have to do is take the Newark City Subway, which is still considered the light rail. But you're going to take the Newark City Subway / light rail, and you're going to take it to, I think it's 2 to 3 stops. I'm just going to go quickly and double check for everyone. But definitely, what you're going to do is, if you want to get off at Warren Street, okay? You want to get off at Warren Street, actually, and you want to go and you want to definitely head over to Warren Street, which is right over at NJIT. So what's going to happen is when you get to the Warren Street station, you go up the stairs. Both entrances will be directly on the side of where the stadium is. It's right there. You can't miss it. It's right there. When you're done, You go across the street. You leave the soccer stadium section. You'll go across the street to the light rail or the Newark City Subway. Take that one entrance. You go down the stairs. You pay your thing, and then you head back to Newark Penn Station. So from Newark Penn Station with the subway, you make a stop at Military Park, and then you make another stop at Washington Street, and then it's the next one, Warren Street, NJIT. And the entrance is right there. You can't miss it. It's right there. You go up the stairs. If you're going up the stairs, it's either on and it's on your left, you look to your left. If you go up the stairs and you look to your right, it's on your right, depending on which entrance you take or which exit entrance you take. And it's right there. It's not far. I Google mapped it. It's really close. It's boom, right there. And then you just go across the street if you want to take the light rail back to Newark Penn Station. And if you're coming from Broad Street in Newark, you take the light rail from there. You go to Newark Penn Station stop. You're going to have to go up the stairs, and then you have to find the entrance to go back into the light rail to take the Newark City subway, and then you take the light rail train that goes towards Warren Street. So that's for those of you that want to take the light rail to the Newark City subway to get to this U.S. Open Cup matchup between the Jersey Express and the Brooklyn Italians. It's not that bad. It's really quick, 1, 2, 3. It should be a lot of fun. Next, as we keep on going here on the 40 Seasons Fire American Soccer Show, here are the next matches. Oklahoma City Energy FC will be traveling to Tulsa to take on the Athletics of the MPSL at Tulsa Athletic Stadium in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that's a 7:30 p.m. Central Time start, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Real quick, Brooklyn Italians at Jersey Express. That will be also an 8 o'clock Eastern start time. Real Colorado Foxes at the Des Moines Menace Under-23s, which is the U.S. Adult Soccer Association team, not the PDL team. That match will be at the Valley Stadium in West Des Moines, Iowa. North Texas Rayados will travel to Austin to take on the Aztecs. House Park, Austin, Texas. 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start time. And real quickly, just before I forget, Real Colorado Foxes at Des Moines Menace USASA side. 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time as well. Orange County Blues at the Fresno Fuego at Chuck Chauncey Park in Fresno, California. Excuse me. 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern start time. Red Force of Florida taking on and traveling to Laredo, Texas against the Heat at the Texas A&M International University Soccer Complex, 8:15 p.m. Central, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Ventura County Fusion at the Sacramento Republic over at the Consumnis River College Stadium in Sacramento, California, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. PSA Elite at the San Diego Flash over at the Mira Mesa High School in Mira Mesa, California, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern start time. And then finally, California FC, Cal FC, will be facing the Los Angeles Galaxy's USL Pro side, LA Galaxy 2, over at the StubHub Center and Track and Field Stadium in Carson, California, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, 10:30 p.m. Eastern start time. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24 games. 24 games in round two of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup 2014 edition. This is something that is definitely going to be exciting to see, something exciting to watch. I'm telling you right now, It's just absolutely brilliant. It's wonderful to talk about, and I just have a lot of fun. And you know what? I commend and I applaud the Open Cup Committee, and at the same time, I also applaud U.S. Soccer. U.S. Soccer is seeing that the growth of the Open Cup continues to get bigger and better, and now they're going to try to expand all these rounds. I understand at the moment the geography is a little off, and I understand that. And hopefully there won't be too many long-distance trips for some of these teams that might have to go all the way to the mountain time zone from the east, possibly someone from the western time zone to the south. We just have to see what's going to happen with the draw. And it's going to be interesting. And then when we get to round three, it will not be the week after round two. It will be a two-week break. And once again, I applaud U.S. Soccer. I applaud U.S. Soccer. I applaud the Open Cup Committee recognizing, and I understand this is not for the supporters. This is more for the clubs to be allowed to promote the game the right way, to promote the game and to just finally give these players an opportunity to rest up, relax. And it also does help the supporters. It helps people like you, like me, many, many supporters to finally be allowed to plan ahead of time and say, I can finally go on a U.S. Open Cup trip. I don't have to worry. I don't have to rush. I don't have to, like, you know, make a big fuss and rush to go see my team on the road play in the Open Cup if they're not going to be home. This is just an absolute fantastic thing to see and an absolute fantastic thing to take a look at. It gives me an opportunity to plan these games in advance, to get these shows ready, and just to say, U.S. Soccer, job well done. Now, this is just another positive in the life and in the run of the U.S. Open Cup. Just another positive run of the U.S. Open Cup. It keeps getting bigger. It keeps getting better. It keeps on becoming what it should be, an Open Cup. Yes, there will be these qualifying tournaments going on in each of the regions. It will still be going on. But the truth of the matter is that it's improving. We who support the game in the United States, we are improving this tournament because we are showing more and more respect. And at the same time, we all want it to be the cup tournament that it should be. Because once again, what's on the line? A CONCACAF Champions League spot for the next tournament, because it is the cup. Because this is just as important as any other trophy that MLS has. Supporter Shield, U.S. Open Cup, MLS Cup, these are the three trophies you're going for. A plate and two big cups. And one of them is over 100 years old, and that is the U.S. Open Cup. But I will say this. It's fantastic to see everyone coming in, everyone celebrating U.S. Soccer as a whole. It's absolutely brilliant. It's fun, and it's just absolutely great. It's just been a wonderful thing to see. And just to let everyone know, please go to thecup.us. Please go to thecup.us, as I was able to give an article on the Red Bulls under 23 sides victory against the Vermont Voltage. Please go ahead and take a look at that report when you get the opportunity. It's always a pleasure to help out the cup.us whenever they need someone to help with a match report in a watching a match in the US Open Cup. I always have a lot of fun with it. I enjoy being a part of it. This is what happens when I love talking about the US Open Cup. And I hope you guys enjoy watching these games. Whenever there is a stream, whatever happens over there goes on in any of these tournaments, from the first round all the way into the championship final, the U.S. Open Cup is now getting the respect it truly deserves. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it. I'm finally happy. Finally happy to see what is going on with the U.S. Open Cup. It's a pleasure to see the U.S. Open Cup finally getting the respect it deserves. I hope everyone is enjoying it. I hope everyone's enjoying it. I hope everyone is loving it. I'm enjoying it. Some pretty good matches in the first round. Can't wait for the second round. And, of course, for those teams in the USL Pro League, if they're home, expect them to provide the stream through YouTube. So just to help you guys out, you're probably going to see streams from the LA Galaxy 2 side, Rochester Rhinos. You'll probably see one from Ventura County Fusion, the PDL, or I think it's at Sacramento now. We'll see. I have to double-check on that one again. So either way, it'll be streamed regardless. Charleston Battery will be streaming their game. Pittsburgh Riverhounds will probably be streaming their game. Orlando City could stream their under-23s and their game against Ocala. And it looks like that might be it, unless Harrisburg does go on the road and brings their streaming equipment with them. We'll see what happens. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, we got ourselves some big-time games here in the second round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It is going to be exciting. It's going to be fantastic. It's just one of those things, boy, I tell you. One of those things that's going to be awesome. It's just going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see what's going to happen here.
Nice.
It's great. It's just absolutely great to see. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will be the end of the first round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup review show, round one of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Don't forget to please go to thecup.us for all your information on the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup in every single round. And don't forget to join me, Daniel Feuerstein, here on the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show as we get ready for another exciting week of MLS, NESL, USL Pro, and US Open Cup. So come on over. Don't be shy. Join me and, of course, my guests for this coming Tuesday as well as next Friday's Round 2 review show of the Lamar Hunt US Open Cup. I want to thank my guests, Federico Molinari. I also want to thank Mr. Ante Lokar and David, Ante Lokar, from the general manager of RWB Adria and head coach of Lehigh Valley, David Weitzman, and once again head coach of Western Mass Pioneers, Federico Molinari. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this coming Tuesday great show for you as well, and hope to talk to you and hear from you later. Have a good night. As always, enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now. Take care, everybody.